As we come to God's Word, let us pray. Almighty God, as Jesus has said, those who recognize their weakness are blessed. And so we recognize we cannot understand your Word unless your Spirit interprets it for us. And so, Sovereign Spirit of the living God, interpret it to our hearts and apply it to our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. We're on the next beatitude. We've looked at the Beatitudes, speaking of God's blessing on the poor in spirit and those who mourn. Now, the New American Standard Bible, which is what I'm using, uses the word gentle in verse 5. However, the Greek word, I do believe, is better translated meek. It has that aspect of gentleness to it. But the word meek is the word that's there, and so I'm going to read it as though the Greek word were translated meek. So our text is verse 5, and these are the words of Jesus. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God's Word. Do you want to know what God is like? Well, if you read verses 5 through 10 in the first half of each verse, you'll see it. Listen to that. Just the first half of all those verses. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Every one of those descriptions fits God's character, and that last one in verse 10 fits the experience of Christ as the Son of God who became man. Those descriptions are in fact a description of the character of God first and foremost. For Jesus means for his disciples, by the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to end up looking like God in their character, working God's character into their character over the course of their lives. They've trusted in him. And part of the redeeming work of Jesus is to remake us in the image of God. You remember that Adam, the first man, was created in God's image, and that image was marred and perverted when he fell into his sin. But we are now new creatures in Christ. And it's Christ's purpose to make us into God's image perfectly. And each beatitude is, in fact, a description of God's character and of Jesus, too, especially the Son of God. We are meant by God to be meek, righteous, merciful, pure of heart, a source of peace in a world at war with God. And our text tells us that if we are meek, then we will be, in part, together with the other, the living image of God. This beatitude gives a marvelous help to living a life that glorifies God. And so Jesus declares here in verse 5, blessed are the meek. This quality is perhaps more than either of the previous two. The one that most challenges our habits of thought and feeling and living. It covers a host of character traits. Mild, gentle, which the New American Standard Bible uses here, pleasant, kindly, or even lenient, all of them reflections of God's character. Lenient would be better replaced in God's case, of course, with kind. But these descriptions accompany such traits as strength and humility, and in Jesus' case, with dependence upon God. And that is the point of the description. A servant of God, a disciple of Christ, which is what is being described here, or who is being described here, is a Christian. And a Christian is meant to be meek in all of these ways and more. Perhaps we can best get at this by saying what a disciple is not like, giving some of the opposites of meekness. A Christian or a disciple is not self-assertive, is not self-confident, is not aggressive. Not in bad things, anyway. They can be aggressive in doing good, but aggressive in terms of being determined to do the right thing. They're not bad-tempered toward others. They're not resentful. And Christians do not bear a grudge. Now, we never arrive at that place in this life until we get to heaven. But God's working on those things in our lives. That, by the way, is one reason for some of the trials you go through. God is seeking your improvement so that you resemble him better and better. But rather than being those things, because he or she knows they are a sinner, their spirit is impoverished, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, and they know they are unworthy of God's mercy and generosity. So the Christian knows that he or she has no merit before God, and therefore is owed nothing by God or by others because of his or her sin. Therefore, there are certain things that will not characterize the one who is meek, the disciple who is meek. The disciple who is meek will bear no grudges, will never strike out at others to protect themselves. They will not be angry unless they can be angry in a sinless way, and that is possible. And they will be peaceable. More positively, they submit quietly to God, his word, and his rod of discipline. They follow his directions, they comply with his plans, and they are gentle to all whom they meet. Titus 3:2 says, we're to speak negatively of no one, to be uncontentious, to be gentle, showing every consideration for all men. That's what meek people do. And if a Christian is provoked as a meek person, they are not inflamed by it, but rather are silent or return a soft answer. Or they remain cool, and they're easily pacified. In short, as Matthew Henry puts it, and in this section I'm leaning heavily on his beautiful words for what I'm going to say here, they're like blessed Jesus, who is Lord of his anger. They're able to enjoy others around them and their God, and they are fit for any relation, condition, and company. They're fit to live. They're fit to die. And they're happy. And one reason they are happy and in a happy condition, as Jesus says here, is that meekness promotes both health and wealth, comfort and safety, even in this world. By wealth, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking of the riches of God's grace. The meek really live. They really do live the easiest lives compared with the angry and turbulent. They are blessed, and they find it easy to be at ease. I remember a friend of mine in Middletown, Pennsylvania, who was dying. She had cancer, I believe it was, and she was on her deathbed, and I came to see her just about every day, and she looked up at me, and she said, "You're coming here too much." She had to croak it out. She didn't think she was worthy of that kind of attention, but she was at ease, knowing she would soon be with Jesus. Blessed are the meek, for all of that describes them well, and those are the things that you see in a person who is meek, a Christian who is meek. Now, why are they blessed? Why are they happy? Why are these things true of them? Well, Jesus says it's because they know they shall inherit the earth when he returns. The meek are blessed precisely because they are like Jesus. Jesus always did the things the Father told him to do, and that meant the Father was always with him. And the meek know the Father is always with them, and they want to do what the Father says to do. Secondly, Jesus has been made Lord of heaven and earth, the King of the kingdom of God. And those who are meek will have a portion in that kingdom. Do you remember the parable of the faithful stewards? Turn to Luke 19:15-19. Luke 19:15-19. It's a funny little section in this parable. It sounds like a man who's being a little hard on his servants. He left them with responsibilities to invest and earn him some profit from his business. He went on a journey, and then it says in verse 15, when he returned after receiving the kingdom, He ordered these slaves to whom he had been given, to whom he had given the money, be called to him, so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, "Master, your mina," that's the standard of money, "has made 10 minas more." And he said to him, "Well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, "Your mina, master, has made 5 minas. And he said to him also, "And you are to be over 5 cities. You see what the master was doing there. They had done the work they had been told to do. They made a profit for him. And he profited them by giving them prosperity in his kingdom. The meek are blessed because they know that God is committed to providing all their needs in the second place. "Ask, and you shall receive," is what Jesus says. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. Like the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, you will be fed and clothed. And you have access as a Christian right this very minute, right this very second, to ask the Father in Jesus' name for anything that you need. Meekness, you see, is the fruit of an emotional and spiritual investment in God and his bounty. You trust him. You trust him in everything. And you are committed to serving the Father as Jesus did. And you find, as a believer, if you believe God's promises and you trust that he's a good Father in heaven, that you no longer need to fight for your rights or your living. God is committed to that for you. And in the midst of his judgment and chastisement of the citizens of this world and his kingdoms, in a time like ours, you will find that God will take care of you. And you see an example of this in 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, the prophet Elijah was sent to tell to Israel why they had a drought and to bring them to repentance so the Lord God would end the drought. And in 1 Kings 17, beginning at verse 8, we read, "The word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" Now remember, there's a drought here, and she has a problem. "He arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, 'Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink.' As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand.' But she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. Behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.' Then Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth.' So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah." You see, there's always an abundance in God's provision of what you need, not always what you want, but what you need. The meek are blessed because they're like Jesus, and the meek are blessed, secondly, because they know that God is committed to providing all of their needs. Ask, and you shall receive. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. Remember? Beloved, if you are a meek person, and that's what God wants to make you are not on your own. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all for you and not against you. Your sins are forgiven, and the kingdom is yours. Your griefs are being tended by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of mercy and compassion and will comfort you. You do not have to look out for number one yourself. No, your number one is now Jesus, and he, with all of his power, is looking out for you. And he has plans to give you a share in the glory of his kingdom that no one can take from you. Now, there are many reasons why we get angry and anxious, and one of them is that we are not trusting the Lord to be there for us. And sometimes we think, even as Christians, if we do not fight and scrape for all we need and all we want, no one will. But, beloved, don't forget you're a Christian, a child of God, and you have a Father in heaven who is committed to you as one of those his Son died for. You have a Savior who intercedes for you at God's right hand always. You have a Spirit who, among other fruits, produces in you self-control. One of the sins we can easily fall into, then, is that of unbelief. But in these times, especially in the times we're in now, you can always and constantly cry out to your God, "Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief." And he won't criticize you for your unbelief. He'll give you more faith. Let me borrow a page from the works of the now in glory Christian counselor J. Adams. When life is hard, when people are hard, when you feel lost or without resources, Jay was known for the saying that you put off and put on. When you find life is like that, and when you find you have a Spirit who, among other fruits, produces in you self-control, then one of the sins you can easily fall into is that of unbelief. But in those times, you're to put off your instinct to look out for yourself and help yourself and fight for your rights and your dignity, and put on the likeness of the Jesus who cried out on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." You, dear believer, you, dear brother or sister, are in safe and good hands. And if you're not yet a believer, then you can be in good hands. Confess and repent of your sins, especially your pride and self-reliance, and ask Jesus to take you into his hands, forgive you your sins, and give you his kingdom, and make you a meek man in him. If you ask him to do that, he will never turn you down if you mean it. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you for the promise of life and the provision for all of our needs. Please grant that we would trust you and make us meek like Jesus. In his name we ask it, amen.